The cold water hit me at 6 in the morning, on a Tuesday in February, and I mean properly cold. Not the lukewarm disappointment of a long shower the night before, not the fade-out at the tail end of a busy cycle. Cold enough to pull my arm back before my brain had finished processing what my skin was telling it. Third morning in a row. Day one, I blamed timing. Day two, I blamed my schedule. Day three, I was standing in a bathrobe in my utility room with a flashlight, looking at an 8-year-old electric water heater and trying to decide how expensive my morning was about to get. The instinct in that moment is to call a plumber. I've got a number on the fridge, the way most homeowners do. And that number would have charged me $250 minimum just to show up. Before diagnostic time, before labor, before their markup on whatever parts they pulled off the truck. So, I put the phone down and got down there myself. What I found, once I got down there with the right information, was a failed heating element. $41 in parts. About 2 hours of careful methodical work. No plumber. And the next morning, hot water. That's what this episode is about. An electric water heater has two heating elements, upper and lower, each with its own thermostat controlling its half of the tank. The upper element handles the first draw of hot water in the morning. The lower handles recovery. Reheating the tank after demand drains it down. When the upper element fails, you get cold almost immediately, which is what I was dealing with. When the lower fails, you get a short run of warmth, and then nothing. Both failures feel like the whole system is dead. In most cases, neither one requires a professional. The element itself is a resistive coil sealed inside a metal tube, threaded directly into the tank body. The same basic design residential tanks have used for 60 years. Before anything else, I need you to understand something about this job that I'm not going to soften. An electric water heater circuit runs at 240 volts. That is not a number to be casual about. Killing the circuit at the breaker panel before you open any access panel on that tank is not optional, and it is not a step you confirm by flipping a breaker and trusting the label on the panel. You confirm it with a non-contact voltage tester, held to the element terminals before you touch anything. Non-contact testers run about $12 at any hardware store. If you don't have one, buy one before you start this job. The label on the breaker is not the confirmation. The tester gives you the truth. With the power killed and while you're gathering tools, let me mention something sitting on my bench when I first did this repair. A 6-inch piece of cut garden hose, 1/2-inch diameter, left over from a drip irrigation project the previous fall. I almost threw it in the bin. I didn't. By the end of the job, that piece of hose had kept me from making the one mistake on this repair that can end the job permanently. Hold that thought. Tools for this job, a multimeter, an element wrench, a garden hose, a flathead screwdriver, and a place to drain water into. The element wrench is the specialty item. It's a deep hex socket, 1.5 inches or 1 7/16 inches, that fits over the flat shoulder of the element body. You can rent one from most hardware stores for $3 a day. I'd rent before buying, unless you're planning to do this more than once. The element itself should match your tank's model number, which is on a rating plate attached to the tank body. Match the wattage and the thread type. Elements run $15 to $30, depending on wattage. Order the right one before you start. A second trip to the hardware store in the middle of a drain tank is exactly as annoying as it sounds. Confirm the diagnosis before you drain a drop of water. The access panels on the side of the tank are held by 2 or 3 screws each. Pull the top panel first. Peel back the insulation, usually pink fiberglass batting or rigid foam board, and you'll find the element's 2 screw terminals and the thermostat pressed flat against the element body. With the power killed and confirmed dead by your tester, set the multimeter to the resistance function, the ohms setting, and touch the probes to the two element terminals. A working element reads somewhere between 10 and 30 ohms, depending on its wattage. A failed element reads OL, overload, open circuit, infinite resistance. No continuity at all. On my tank, the upper element read OL without hesitation. Clear answer. No guessing. Run your finger around the element port while you're down there. The hex fitting where the element threads into the tank body. You should feel clean threads, with no corrosion pitting, no scale buildup that's going to make threading the new element in an argument. If the threads look badly compromised on a tank that's getting up in years, that's a different conversation about whether this repair is worth doing or whether you're looking at a replacement. Clean threads that catch your fingertip without roughness are what right feels like. That's what you're hoping to find. Now drain the tank. Connect the garden hose to the drain valve at the base of the unit. Usually takes a flathead screwdriver or a standard garden spigot handle, depending on the valve design. Run the hose to a floor drain, a utility sink, or outside. Open the cold water supply to stay connected. Or close it. Either works. But if you close it, you won't have water pressure helping push the drain. Open the drain valve and let it run. The water that comes out first will look unpleasant. Rust-tinged, sediment-cloudy, possibly smelling mineral-heavy. That's the accumulation at the bottom of the tank from months or years of mineral deposits disturbed by the drain flow. Let it run until it clears, then let it continue until the tank is empty. This takes longer than people expect on a 40-gallon unit. Bring a book. Now I need to tell you about the mistake I made the first time I did this job, because it cost me time and irritation that I want you to avoid. I got impatient. The tank was draining slowly. I had other things going on, and I convinced myself I had enough clearance above the upper element port to pull it, with a few gallons still sitting in there. Wrong. When I broke the element loose and started pulling it out, the remaining water came with it in a meaningful rush. Not a catastrophic flood, but enough to soak the floor panel I put down to kneel on, run down the side of the tank, and pool under the base before I got a bucket positioned. 45 minutes of cleanup before I could get back to the repair. Since then, I drain the tank completely. Every time. The time you think you're saving is not real time. When the tank is fully drained and the port is clear, this is where that piece of garden hose earns its place. Cross-threading is the number one way to turn this repair into a much larger problem. The element is heavier than it looks, and it's easy to start it at a slight angle without feeling it, especially when you're working in a low, awkward position. What I do now, slip that 6-inch cut of 1/2-inch garden hose over the hex shoulder of the new element before threading it in. The hose is just stiff enough to center the element and keep it square to the port opening as I engage the first threads by hand. That centering matters. Feel the thread engagement. Smooth, gradual, each turn pulling the element evenly toward the tank wall, without wobble or resistance. If there's any roughness in the first couple of turns, back it out completely and start over. Cross-threading at the beginning is hard to feel and catastrophic to leave in place. Get 4 clean turns by hand, and you've won the critical part of this job. After that, you switch to the wrench. 2 wraps of Teflon tape on the element threads before you start. Wound clockwise as you look straight at the element tip, each pass overlapping the previous by about half. Tear it clean at the hex shoulder. The tape compresses into the thread grooves as the element draws down against the tank wall gasket, creating a hydraulic seal that handles the pressure inside the tank once it's refilled and back on temperature. When you're torquing with the element wrench, you're feeling for the subtle increase in resistance as the gasket seats against the fitting face. There's a definite change in the weight of the wrench load right as the seal closes. That's your stop point. Snug and solid, not fighting the wrench. The threads in a residential tank body are not field repairable. Strip them and you're replacing the unit, not the element. The sound of a correctly seated element is silence. No drip, no seep, no thread stress tick. While you still have your tools in hand, before you move on to wiring, press a dry finger against the element fitting and wait 30 seconds. Nothing should be happening there. Reconnect the wiring exactly as it came off. If you photographed the original wiring before pulling the panel, and you should have, use that reference. Two wires, two terminal screws on the element body. Polarity doesn't matter on a resistive heating element. Tighten both terminal screws firmly. Now reseat the thermostat flat against the element body. It reads temperature through direct thermal contact with the element surface. And if it's sitting at an angle or not fully pressed against the element, you'll get erratic temperature readings and inconsistent heating behavior. Fold the insulation back into place and replace the panel cover. You're done at the element. Now here is the step that ends careers on this repair, if you get it wrong. Do not restore power to the circuit until the tank is completely full and all air is purged from inside. Dry firing, letting that element heat up with air in the tank around it instead of water, destroys a new element in minutes. Silently, without a breaker trip, without any visible sign of failure. You will not know it happened until the next morning, when you've got cold water again and a new element to buy. Close the drain valve first, then open the cold water supply if you closed it, or confirm it's open. Find a hot water faucet somewhere in the house, a bathroom sink, a kitchen tap, and open it wide, then leave it open while the tank fills. This lets air escape through the faucet as water fills the tank from the bottom up. You'll hear the pipes cycling as water replaces air in the line. When a full, steady stream of cold water is flowing through that open faucet, not sputtering, not alternating air and water in bursts, but a constant flow, the tank is full and the air is out. Close the faucet. Now go back to the tank and check two things. Check the drain valve should be fully closed and dry. Then run your hand around the element fitting at the tank wall. It should be completely dry. No weeping, no moisture ring around the port, no dampness anywhere at the connection. If you feel moisture, don't restore power. The element isn't fully seated or the tape seal didn't close correctly. Back it out and redo the install. If everything is dry, go to the breaker panel and restore the circuit. Give the unit 2 hours before you test. A full cold tank takes time to heat, and you're not going to get an accurate read on whether the repair worked until the element has had time to bring the full volume of water up to temperature. After 2 hours, open a hot tap and run a full draw. What you're feeling for is heat that holds, not a surge of warmth that fades after 30 seconds, but consistent sustained heat through the entire draw. The same way it should feel when the element is doing its job correctly. If that's what you've got, the repair is done. While you're already set up down here, one more thing worth your 15 minutes. The anode rod. This is the sacrificial metal rod inside the tank, magnesium or aluminum on most residential units, that protects the tank lining from corrosion by drawing corrosive action to itself first. It's located at the crown of the tank, typically under the hot water outlet nipple or a dedicated hex port at the top. Since the tank is already drained and you already have tools in hand, pull the anode rod and look at it. A healthy rod shows surface depletion but has core material remaining. A rod that's corroded down to the wire core or is less than half its original thickness needs replacing. They run $20 to $40. With the tank already drained and you already down here, the inspection costs you 15 minutes, and the replacement costs you the part. Skip this when the tank is full and you're paying a plumber to drain it again. After 24 hours, go back and check the element fitting one final time. Dry connection,
hot water running strong and consistent through a full draw.
You just handled what the service call would have charged you $250 to diagnose and an unknown amount more to fix. The actual cost was the element plus an afternoon of methodical work.
I want to hear from you. What home system have you been staring at that seems more complicated than it probably is? What's the job that's been sitting on the list because you're not quite sure where the line is between figuring it out yourself and calling someone in?
That conversation is exactly what this community is here to have. Drop it in the comments. One fixer to another. Let's talk it through.